Let's turn in our scriptures to the book of James, the letter of James, and we're in chapter 1, and we're coming to the end of a section today, a kind of ultimate to that end, and just a few verses. We're going to read verses 16 to 18 of James chapter 1. Letter of James chapter 1, picking up verse 16 through to verse 18. These are wonderful words, and we could have closed off last week, but I thought that would not be right to spend a little more time just on these last three verses of this section. Verse 16, James repeats, "Do not be deceived, my brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." As I said, we come to the end of this section in James on trials of various kinds. And surely one of the main lessons must be this: God is sovereign. And in the life of the believer, all his purposes will be accomplished. And for his church, these purposes should fill us with assurance and gratitude that God, by his Spirit, is, through the trials and infirmities and even the sin that confronts us at times, God uses these to strengthen our faith, to build steadfastness in the believer, and finally to suit us for heaven on the day of Christ, when those who remain steadfast under trial will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And one thing we see about what we've been talking about here, the various trials that come to God's people, we must say, because of our sin, in spite of our sin, what a gracious Savior. What a gracious Savior who will not allow even one of his children, even one who has sinned and gone astray for a season, to be lost. No, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And trials and difficulties affect us in different ways, but God has a purpose in all these things. Well, as I said, today we'll wrap up this section on trials and temptations to sin. And as James re-emphasizes again that God is sovereign and all good things come from him, and that there is a purpose to these trials, and there is an unchanging God, and there is a God who wants and has made the church to be the first fruits of his new creation. Let's come to our text for today, verses 16 to 18, James chapter 1. And we have three main points today, and we'll be brief. The second point will be a little longer. Number one, do not be deceived by the nature and origin of evil. We spoke about this before, and he's brought it up here at the end of the section. It's almost like he's creating a summary now of everything that's gone before. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. And this is, of course, in context linked to verse number 13 that we studied, which reads, "Let no one say when he's tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." And this is repeated here in James to be clear that God, who is supremely sovereign as the ruler and creator of all things, there is one thing that does not proceed from God, and that is evil, nor can it. Created things and created beings, however, of their own free will disobeyed God. or like Satan wanted to place himself above God and as a result was cast from God's presence forever with all his evil angels. The Bible teaches that he's the deceiver, he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And of course, since the fall of man at the hands of the serpent in the garden, man too was separated from God because of the evil of Satan. No, the evil within his own heart when man chose to disobey God in the garden. Evil proceeds from the devil. And evil is in the heart of fallen man due to his sin nature that he inherited from Adam. He is dead in his trespasses and sins. Then what then of the redeemed man's constant temptation to sin? Well, he is aided and abetted, if you like, by the temptations of both Satan and the world. But he is ultimately, as our text says, and who repeats today, do not be deceived, he is ultimately lured and enticed by his own evil desires, that remaining sin in his sin nature. Now we've seen in our study that God brings to his children many trials, testings, infirmities, affliction, persecution that the church will spread at this time in the first century as a result of persecution for their faith in Christ, all from the hand of God or from the instruments that God uses to test and refine his children. But for this one thing, God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. No temptation to sin, no evil or impurity of any kind can proceed from God, and to believe that is to be deceived. And that's why James repeats that. To be clear, he's saying. And if you hold the view that because God is sovereign in all things and all things were made by him, including evil, you are seriously deceived and led away from the God of the scriptures. You are deceived as to the nature and the origin of evil. And while there is, brothers and sisters, common grace in every man on this earth, believer or unbeliever, the ability to do what is good, we see non-believers show compassion and even mercy because they were created in God's image. Yet man's heart in his natural state is ultimately desperately sick, and there is no cure for sin except death. And there is no cure for sin except and apart from death. Satan, however, on the other hand, unlike man created in God's image before the fall, possesses no good. He is pure evil and the enemy of God and everything that is holy. He may parade as an angel of light, but he is the great deceiver, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And even though Satan is a defeated foe, and you would think, can he not see? He is ruined. It is just judgment day. And yet he persists. His whole existence is to defy God. He desired to destroy the Son of God by crucifying him on a cross. And he thought that was a victory. And if it were in his power, he would destroy every saint, corrupt them with evil and drag their souls away from the kingdom of God, if that were possible. To believe otherwise or to think somehow that evil can come from a holy God in any way is to be deceived and led astray like a sheep who's gone his own way. It is to go off in error from the word of God as a rule of righteousness. And believers say the whole time, how can God be good? Look at all the evil in the world. It must come from God. Do not be deceived by the nature and the origin of evil, brothers and sisters. James continues in our passage to go from there to put before us the amazing and the unfathomable immune guard to us as a reminder to not to be deceived about the origin of evil and sin. Number two, that brings us to our second point. Only light, purity, holiness can come from God who does not change. Only light, purity, and holiness can come from God who does not change. Look at verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from where? From above. Coming down from whom? The Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And so James sets before us the immutable, perfect, pure, holy character of God. Not only does James desire that God's children are not deceived with regard to the nature and the origin of evil, that it is not from God, therefore the blame for temptation to sin is not even to be placed on the devil or the world or your difficult circumstances, but needs to be owned as coming from our own hearts and our own remaining sin. And we've seen this needs to be fiercely resisted by the Christian. But James wants to prove the case to us from the scriptures. And he's not coming with new theology, although he was moved by the Holy Spirit to write these things. But these are ancient things. These are things from the Old Testament that he teaches us to tell his readers, most of them new believers, of the true excellencies of the divine nature and the gifts that God pours upon his children. The good gifts that God pours upon his children. He desires that his readers would know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. God gives gifts to his children, brothers and sisters, and they are always good and perfect gifts. And therefore, they can only come from one person, who is goodness in himself, who is sinless and perfect in himself, who is holy and just and true and eternal and omnipotent and omniscient and unchanging, immutable. We see ourselves against that backdrop. The slightest bad news changes us. The slightest infirmity discourages us. And our faith wavers. But God is not so. The Father of lights is immutable, unchangeable, holy, perfect, pure, all-knowing, everywhere present. What a wonderful... He is the Father of lights. He's the Father of lights. The world cannot know him. The world cannot see him. The Bible tells us Satan has blinded their eyes, but to his children he has revealed himself to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, as 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 tells us. God is the Father of lights. And James says, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. To decipher the essence and the glory of God is unfathomable. We cannot understand it. And we must understand the imagery of light, which I'm sure we do, in the scriptures. It is purity and its perfection and its holiness, and it's the absence of all sin and evil. 1 John 1 and verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness of all. And so the Father of heavenly lights, the Father of lights, speaks to the purity and the glory of God. Such is his transcendent glory and holiness and perfection, that he is said to dwell in light inaccessible. Bright light is a powerful thing. the light globe in our kitchen went the other day, and I went to the garage, and I have my stash, and I took out a 60-watt LED light, and I put it in the kitchen, and it was dark in the kitchen. There was this little light. And so I wasn't happy with that, so the next time I went to Home Depot, Walmart, where it was, I bought myself some 100-watt LED lights, and I put one in. And I invite you to come to my kitchen, especially if it's dark and you switch a light on. It's like, whoa, that is bright. That is bright. And that's only 100 watts. You get 1,000-watt globes. Brothers and sisters, God dwells in light inaccessible. Moses could not bear it. He was just close to God, and his face shone. They had put a veil around his head because of his holiness and purity. And he dwells in light inaccessible. He is the Father of lights. Don't be deceived. Nothing evil can proceed from God. 1 Timothy 6:16, you alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be eternal glory and dominion. Amen. And brothers and sisters, so it is with Jesus Christ, who proceeded from the Father. He's called in the Nicene Creed, light of light and very God of God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, proceeded from the Father. This is the Nicene Creed. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. He's the Father of lights. From him proceed only every good and perfect gift. And so, creatures, as they derive their perfections from God, are also spoken in terms of light as the angels, angels of light. And the saints are what? Children of light. God is spoken of in allusion to the sun, who derives and streams out his lights to all the stars. So God, the author of all perfections, which are also signified and expressed by light, is here called the Father of lights. And Thomas Manton says this: the lights in the universe eclipse and decrease, but our sun, the Father of light, shines always with the brightness and glory, with a like brightness and glory. God is without motion or change, no local accesses and recesses. He remains always the same. This is the sun that does not rise or set and cannot be overcast or eclipsed. Isn't that wonderful? That is our unchanging God, the Father of lights. Brothers and sisters, this incomprehensible Father of lights is the one who gives good gifts to his children, every good and perfect gifts. For his gifts to his children can only be perfect and good light, for they proceed from the Father of light. Don't be deceived as to the good things that you possess and experience, believer and unbeliever. God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And if you have life and happiness, it is from God. If you have gainful employment, it is from God. Unbeliever, if you refuse to bow the knee to a God who is good and his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, you will at last receive the just punishment, the wages of sin, which is eternal death and suffering, and that too will be good and just, for it comes from the hand of God. And many people see, but a lot of evil things before me. Only good proceeds from God. Only good proceeds from God. and if you are going to suffer for your sins forever, that too is good and just and is from the hand of God. Consider the spiritual blessings comes to the church as described in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Though eternal death be wages, yet eternal life is a gift. They are from above because they are designed there, like the spiritual blessings in Christ. Brothers and sisters, even the difficulties and the trials of various kinds that come your way, even those infirmities are from God's kind hand. And they are good and they are right because they will sanctify you and prepare you and fit you for heaven. They are good gifts for they strengthen faith. They are good gifts because they develop steadfastness and build the perfectly mature man who lacks nothing and will be perfectly suited and fitted for heaven through these heavenly gifts. Hebrews 12 and verse 9. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Whatever we have, brothers and sisters, from above, we have by way of a gift. We have nothing but that we have received freely. And there is nothing that would oblige God to bestow it. The favors of heaven are not for sale. They are free, as Isaiah tells us. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He has no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And so the psalmist, in his deepest distress, can cry with confidence before God. Psalm 119, 132, turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Reason that we have, wisdom, holiness, happiness, are often expressed by light, and they are from God. Matthew 5, in the same way, therefore, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Because any light that we have is from God, and we, like stars, shine with that borrowed luster from God. Isaiah 60, arise, shine. Why? For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Oh, believer, look to the light of Christ. Look to the Father of lights, from whom proceed every good and perfect gift, and every trial that comes to you, and every sin that comes your way from your own evil heart and the temptations of Satan are a test. And God, who's the giver of all good things, gives you a way of escape. He enables you to resist that temptation. He enables you to flee the sin and look to the light of Christ. Psalm 34, verse 5, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Oh, light, brothers and sisters, shows the reason why men hate God. And this is the judgment. Light has come into the world. The people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, but does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. For whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works are carried out in God. Brothers and sisters, what ought we to do? The children of God should walk in all purity and innocence, for God is their light, and he shines constantly upon them for their good, for their sanctification, and that let the light of his glory may be seen in them. What are you doing with the light of the gospel? Are you resisting temptation? Are you accepting the dark and the light providences of God that he showers upon you for your own good? Though they may be hard and though circumstances change us, we rest in him who's the giver of every good and perfect gift, because he is immutable. He does not change. Ephesians 5:8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And that brings us to the second thing, the second blessed truth about God that James brings us. Not only is he the Father of lights and showers every good and perfect gift designed in heaven for you, for his church, but there's another blessed truth. Unlike us, God is immutable. And brothers and sisters, this is a great comfort. His heart is the same to us in the diversity of outward conditions. We are changed in state, in opinion. And you see some walking around and admitting they're really grumpy. Why? Because I had a bad week. Because I'm having a tough time. God is unchanged by anything. We change in state, in opinion. But God is not changed, verse 17, with whom there's no variation or shadow to change. Nothing. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be, says that great hymn, great is thy faithfulness. God is immutable. And the more mutable we are, the less like God we are. God is immutable, holy, but we have a heart that loves to wonder. He's always the same. The more we will continue in the good that we have learned and been assured of, the more we will resemble the divine perfection. Psalm 106, they will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe. They will pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end. And Malachi said to the people in 3 and verse 6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Because God is gracious and loving. And because Christ died for the believer's sins, we are not changed. We are not changed. We might change in the earthly things. But God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, brings us forgiveness for our sins. And that's why we come to the table in a little while. Brothers and sisters, God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, which comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, and he does not change, nor can he, for God is immutable in his perfections. We observe in the third and final place, very briefly, number three. And this, James brings it to a conclusion. And what an amazing thing to see, that we should not be deceived to the nature of evil. We should not be deceived about the trials and difficulties that come our way. We should not be deceived to think that evil and temptation that comes from is not from God, because he's the Father of heavenly lights. He's immutable and he's perfect and pure. And then see what he is going to accomplish through his son. Number three, God's sinless perfections in Christ produces a harvest of righteousness, his church. God's sinless perfections in Christ, his son, produces a harvest of righteousness, his church. Look at verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Man, who disobey God. Man who from the beginning chose to sin and disobey God. And God showers upon them in the Lord Jesus Christ his loving kindness. And he lays down his life for his sheep. And he brings us forth, as this verse tells us, through the word of truth, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? That we should be a kind of first fruits of all his creatures. After all this, God desires that his church be perfect and pure. And he gives his son to accomplish that. And all these things, and the trials, and the temptations, and infirmities, and imprisonments, and all of the difficulties of life, they're headed to this one thing, that the immutable God, the holy God, showers good gifts upon his children, even these things that we perceive sometimes as evil. Oh, great evil has fallen upon me. No, God works all things to the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And the apostle shows his main aim was to set God forth as the author of spiritual gifts and therefore regeneration. That's where it all went. This, brothers and sisters, places upon the believer, the recipient of God's good and perfect gifts, a massive debt of love and responsibility. The love of God in Christ to generate in the believer a willing constraint to love God with heart and soul and mind and strength. And as recipients of the light of the glory of the gospel in Christ from the Father of lights, our desire ought to be always to shine like stars in the universe with the light of the gospel, that others may be brought into the light through our borrowed light and through our good works in purity and holiness that bring glory to our Father in heaven. Daniel spoke of this in Daniel 12:3, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those in turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, not only has God showered good and perfect gifts upon his children, it is through the merits of Christ that all these things are imparted to us. In this, God desires to make us the first fruits, the prime of the harvest that you keep for that special occasion, the first harvest, the first fruits, my church, whom Christ died for and he loves, the best of the season. We are living proof. We will be jewels in our Savior's precious crown. We are his masterpiece displayed in Jesus Christ. This God desires and has done and will do for the precious church of Christ that he bought with his own blood. Is it not a lot easier? Oh, count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of different kinds. This is the will of God, our sanctification. Each trial and even the temptations that come our way are to be used for the strengthening of our faith, for the development of steadfastness, for our final perfection in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we are rewarded with the crown of life promised to all who love him. God has done this and is doing this and will complete this on the day of Christ. He will, of his own will, in other words, to deny compulsion or necessity, God need not do any of this. God will not increase himself in any way by doing this. This is his sovereign will to lift up the name of his Son and to show the first fruits of the gospel in him. We are Christ's prize, his treasured possession. We're the first fruits in the gospel, and this is given by God's will to exclude merit. This is after the counsel of his will and to show abundant mercy. As 1 Peter 1:3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what end? That we might be the first fruits, the work of grace upon our souls. And all this is accomplished by the word of truth, by God's word. And this was God's ancient design, now accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 2:3, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of all his increase. All that devour him shall be offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. The first fruits of all things were and are the Lord's, and we that the regenerate are the first fruits of the gospel of Christ. And Revelation talks about this at the end. Revelation 14:4, these were redeemed from among men, being first fruits unto God and the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, what more can we say? These are blessed promises accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ in his church and through his work. This is ours. Now shine like stars. Now shine like stars. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great providences. We thank you for your eternal purposes. We thank you for your Son whom you loved. We thank you for your Son who gave his life as a ransom for many. We thank you that we are the first fruits of the gospel of Christ. And we pray that we may truly live like those who love God in truth and who serve the Savior with heart and mind and soul and strength, and who shine like stars in the wicked and perverse generation. Oh Lord, give us a new perspective of these things that come from your hand, even trials and difficulties, various trials that come upon us for our good, for your glory, that we might be the first fruits of the gospel. We thank you for these things and pray for grace now as we come to your table to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen.